How are you doing today? Really happy to have you here. For the ones that don't know me, I'm Pastor Ben, and I am the pastor in this congregation. And I'd like to welcome you to our church, and I hope that you enjoy worshiping with us, and that this is the first of many times that we will see you here. Today, if you pay attention to the bulletin that we give you, the title of the sermon is Seeing is Believing, right? And a lot of people, they require evidence before believing. And in many cases, it makes sense, right? If you want to purchase an item, for instance, like a car or a house, you would like to go and look at it before you buy it, right? It's like people go and spend a lot of money in an article without seeing it. And if you don't look at it before, then you can maybe regret it later, purchasing something that you didn't expect. But what about faith? Do you require seeing things to believe? And we have a story in the scripture that I think convey this point in a more clear way. But before we enter into the Bible, I want to ask you a simple question. What is the color of light? Natural light. What is the color of natural light? Yellow? Green? Clear? Well, you are correct, Ms. Martha. Light is invisible. It's clear, right? Our eyes are prepared to sense it, and the best way to describe light is in the accents of light, right? When you don't have light, what do you see? Nothing, right? It's dark for us. I don't know if you had think about this, but light had many, many spectrums. And we only see a small section of light. It's a big part of light that we don't see, but we know it's present in there, right? For instance, right now we are getting in the hot months of the year, and people need to start using more sunblock. Why? Why we need to put sunblock in our skin? Because we have more sunlight, and when sunlight comes, sunburns, right? And that's part of the power of light. That light is called ultraviolet. Our eyes don't sense it, but we can feel it, right? You have ultraviolet and infrared, you know, in the spectrum of light. And maybe you don't see it there, but it's there, right? And this is one of the difficult things in life. A lot of things we cannot see, but we know they are there, right? What other things you can not see, but you need it in a daily life? How about air, right? It's a simple act of breathing. We do it thousands of times a day, right? And you know, people who suffer from pulmonary disease or from asthma, they know how important it is to breathe, right? And probably you and I, we don't notice because we never had to deal with these issues. So it's something natural that happened to us. So the Bible is telling a story here in the book of Mark, chapter 9. So this is our study today. Please open your Bibles in Mark 9. And the story had many characters, but in my opinion, and you feel free to disagree with me, have an underlying lesson there that we need to discover today. So Mark chapter 9, verse 14 on. We will move from 14 to 28. Probably we won't cover the whole passage, but that's the portion of the scripture that we want to focus today. And I want you to, please, if you can, read with me. Starting in verse 14, this is what the scriptures say. And when he came to the disciples, meaning Jesus, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeting him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? So you have this story that is happening here in the Gospels, according to the writer of the Gospels, after Jesus' transformation in a mountain. And why is this very significant? It's because Jesus split the group of the disciples. He left nine under the mountain, in the bottom of the mountain. He only took three with him and go to the top of this place. And being in there, he was transformed. That's called the glorification of our Lord. Part of his divinity was coming out, The disciples were very impressed with that. And you remember the gospel mentioned that Peter was suggesting, let's stay here. This is a nice place. This is a nice atmosphere. I feel good. I want to be here. It feels like heaven, right? It feels like very good. And I want to stay in this location. But Jesus said, no, we need to go down there. And we had to continue doing ministry, right? Helping people. And so you had this idea that Jesus descends the mountain. And when he come down, he encountered this big multitude. And he didn't know what's going on. And he asked, what is the discussion about? And when he's asking the question, one of the person who was there in the group answered. And this is the answer, verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and say, teacher, I brought you my son who have a mute spirit, and whatever he sees him, he throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they could cast it out, but they could not. So the incident that happened previous to Jesus' arrival is a very distraught father that is in big problems and big trouble because he have a kid, a child. We don't know how young or how old, but probably was younger than 12, since the Bible refers him as a child. And he's telling Jesus, I brought my son because he have a problem, and I don't know what to do. And that is basically the first step in the conversation that Jesus is having with everybody right there. And you need to pay attention because in the answers that Jesus is giving, he's answering different groups, right? In that multitude, you have a group of people that they were the disciples. For how long they had been with Jesus previous to that event? Close to 3 years. The Bible mentioned that Jesus empowered them to do miracles. So previous to that event, they go through villages and towns, and they were healing people and doing these all amazing things in the name of the Lord. But when they get to this point, something happened, right? They get ready. They took their very holy positions. You know, how you notice when people want to impress you? Especially, I notice this when Christian artists. How do you notice the DVDs and the CDs? Most of the time, they are looking at the heaven like this, with these very peaceful eyes like that. You know, like expecting a ray of light coming from heaven. You know, you take this very holy position there. So I can picture the disciples, you know, they had done this before, you know, piece of cake. They take the position and start praying, thinking that the power is in them, right? Only to feel with great disappointment that after that amazing and beautiful prayer, nothing happened. Actually, the demon kind of like was making fun of them, and the child is moving and is twisting, and they don't know what to do. So the scribes that they are in the group, they take advantage of that situation, and they start making fun of the disciples, right? Why? Why they are making fun of them? Do the scribes believe in Jesus? Yeah, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is no, they didn't believe in Jesus. They thought that Jesus was a faker, right? An imposter. So the disciples are following a false teacher. And now here is the clear example for them to realize that his teacher is just a person that they are misguiding them, that they shouldn't follow him. And so the whole multitude right there now is getting engulfed in this big discussion when people is making jokes and is mocking the disciples, and now where is the power? Where is God in this situation? You see, we will find the true proof that Jesus is not who say the person who he claims to be. And everybody among the disciples is quiet. They don't know how to answer. Have you been in a situation like that when you don't know how to answer? That you feel that your faith is questioned, and that's right there. They were in shame, not only with themselves, but with Jesus Christ. Now, the underlying truth in the whole portion that we will study today, you will think it had to deal with the miracle or the healing of the boy, right? But a deeper miracle happened that day. It had to be when believing, when faith. That's a bigger miracle. And let me prove to you what I mean with that. So when Jesus hears the story, he asked the father in verse 21, how long has been this happening to him? And he say, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do something, have compassion on us and help us. So there's a lot there to unpack, right? The father is telling Jesus, I've been dealing with these problems for many, many years. Since he was a little kid. And this problem, or this thing that is inside of my child is trying to kill him. And I prevented that to happen, but I need help. Now, I want you to think about what kind of faith this father had. How big is his faith in Jesus Christ? What do you think? Maybe this is a man who has spent all his resources trying to find a good doctor, right, to help his child, and only to discover that this nothing happened, that the kid continued being sick. He's disappointed. For many years, he struggled with this issue. Finally, he hears about Jesus. He brought the child to Jesus to be healed. And that morning, the whole thing crumbled down, right? Because after the prayer, his faith now is weaker than ever, right? He haven't met Jesus yet until this point, but his faith, we will say safely, it was weak at the moment, right? And it's demonstrated in the way that he asked Jesus for help. The way that he asked Jesus for help is with a lot of doubt, and you discover that with the little word there, if, right? If you can do something, please help us, right? And I want you to think about that, because how many of you have been praying for a child in your family? Think about this, Dad. You know, how exciting it is when you see your kids being born and you are at the hospital and you are there, you know, helping them. But then they start growing and they become teenagers and all things start changing, right? If you have little girls, I don't know about you, but I remember when my daughter started being 11 and 12 and started looking at the boys and me getting concerned, like, oh, what's going on here? You know, like, hey, whoosh, whoosh, you know, keeping away the boys away from my daughter, and you're doing your best to protect your little girl, right? And things don't always work the way that we plan it, right? We struggle, we pray, we ask for a miracle, and in many occasions, we discover that it seems like nothing happened, right? So this is the faith of the father that can be you, that can be me. Somebody who has been wrestling with these spiritual issues for years. This is not something that happened to him like for 1 week or short. This person has been dealing with this problem for a long, long time. And now that he noticed that nothing happened, his faith is becoming weaker. A few days ago, my family and I, we decided to visit the city of Charleston, South Carolina. How you been in Charleston? Beautiful city. It's a lot of history there. So we decided that we want to do the tour, you know, with the horses and all these things. And our tour was between 10, 30 to almost 12. So at 12, when the tour finished, the whole explanation, I was really, really hungry. And always being such an annoying person, I said, oh, let's go eat something. And my family said, no, let's go keep walking. I said, no, I just want to eat right now. So getting out of the tour location, I noticed right there in like a small place who sell pizza. And they get me because they say New York-style pizza. Oh, yeah, I want to try any your style pizza. Let's go back there. So I enter the restaurant. My family finally go with me because I'm such a pest, you know, that we need to eat. And get there and order my slice of cheese pizza, and everybody's sitting there. And I notice my wife start looking at the walls and looking a little amazed. I didn't know why. I thought that decoration and the location was special. So we get our pizza. And I have to tell you, the pizza was really, really good. It was delicious. Nothing wrong with the pizza. Excellent crust, excellent cheese, great flavor. So meanwhile, I was eating my slice of pizza right there at the table. My mother-in-law and my wife continued looking at the wall right there at the restaurant. So what is the deal? What is to look? And when I pay attention, I noticed this small roach walking through the wall. Big deal. The pizza's great. Don't pay attention to the little roach. Keep eating. Then I noticed another roach, but this one was like a more audacious roach, was walking through the middle of the floor in the restaurant. So I started getting a little concerned, like, that's two roaches, right? And they are in big size. They seem very healthy, well fed. So I continue paying attention, and we notice more roaches in that place. The pizza was great, I'm telling you. Best pizza ever. Nobody wants seconds. We left the place in a hurry, you know, and they continue, you know, recriminating me. Why you take us there? I didn't know, you know. A lot of things in life are like that. You don't see, you don't know. You go, how many times you go to a restaurant and you sit in there, the place looks very clean, but you don't know where this food is coming from? How do you know that the cook washes his hands? Tell me. How many people get sick right now for eating lettuce? Right? Salmonella and all these diseases. We don't know. We place our faith in the hands of these people. And we think because we are seeing, we can believe. So in the story, this man is, what he's seeing is telling him, don't believe in this. This is not working. So Jesus moved beyond the doubt of the man, and he wants to help him now. But let's pay attention to the conversation between Jesus and the Father, right? Jesus said in verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, when the Bible says all things are possible, in this context, it meaning spiritual things, right? Do you have a struggle when in a spiritual battle right now in your life? All things are possible for whom who believes. So God is offering help, right? You need to believe. And the man kind of like noticed what Jesus was trying to explain and pay attention to his answer, because I think the answer demonstrates how much love he had for his child. Immediately, the father of the child cried out. He realized what Jesus was pointing out, right? What is the problem? He don't believe in Jesus. He was there because he just gave him like one more chance to see if somebody can help him out. He get confronted with that reality. His faith is very weak. He cried out, and he says something very interesting, and with tears, he said, Lord, I believe, heal my unbelief. And other Bibles say, Lord, I want to believe, help me to believe. And I think that translation will be more appropriate, right? What the man is saying to Jesus is, I am here, I have this problem, and I'm having a struggle right now to believe in you. Please help me to start believing in you more, right? So that's a very interesting confession right there, because the faith of this man is start growing. And that's the underlying beauty of the story right there. I want to talk to you about your faith. What about your faith? How's your faith doing today? Year 2018. Many of you have been Christians for how many years? Have seen God in action? And you will think that after being a Christian for so many years, your faith always will be strong, right? But then we realize that faith is like a living organism. It's something that we need to protect and take care, because if we don't do that, faith tends to die. So if you get surrounded with people that always are bickering, always complaining, always whining, always seeing the black things in life, what do you think that will do to your faith? It will affect your faith. Definitely. Because we get affected by our surroundings too. So if you surround yourself with people of faith that trust in the Lord and they pray and they empower you, your faith will continue growing. So that's a challenge for us today, because I want you to think about the disciples. They had seen Jesus for at least 3 years, but they continued wrestling with some doubts. Among the doubts that they were fighting was who will be the most important person in the kingdom. You remember that? They continue fighting with that for many, many years. Who will be the most important? Who will get the most attention? So Jesus is trying to tell them, you need to take care of your faith, right? When you go to the end of the story, you will discover that the disciples call Jesus apart, and they ask him why we can do the miracle. And he answered, because of your lack of what? Faith. And this kind of situation, you only overcome with prayer, right? What situation? Do you think that the situation that Jesus is describing, the healing of the boy? No, the situation that Jesus is describing is the unbelief. So meaning, the bigger miracle in the story is not the healing of the boy. The bigger miracle in the story is how the faith of the father starts to grow and start to become healthy and start to get stronger. Not only the faith of the father gets stronger, but the faith of the disciples gets stronger too. And you remember, after that small interaction between Jesus and the father, Jesus just healed the boy, and he remained in the down position, and everybody thought, he killed him, right? He's dead. And the Lord raised the boy and gave it to the father, right? That's the continuation of the story right there. But I want you to think about these issues. What about your faith? Do you feel that your faith is stronger today or is weak? Are you taking care of your faith? Are you protecting your faith? Right? If we can compare faith to a little plant, you know that you need to pay attention to that every day, right? What happened to plants that you don't put water? They start getting weak and weak, and eventually they will die, right? Even in our house, I remember getting a cactus many, many years ago. You know the cactus. How many times do you need to water a cactus? Cactus are the toughest plants in the planet, I think. Yeah, like once a month, 3 drops in there, poof, and that's it. It's not like you are doing roses or anything like that. So my wife was taking care of this cactus, and it dies. So we have this conversation heart to heart with my wife. I say, I think we have a problem here, right? Because if you can't keep a cactus alive, you know, like, it's a challenging situation here. So faith is the same way. We need to take steps every day to protect our faith, to guard our faith. Because remember, your faith is making an influence in your family too. And perhaps you don't notice, but it's a lot of people who look at you and use you as an inspiration. Maybe your kids, they think that you are a superhero, right? You remember when the kids are small and they think dad is the stronger one, the smarter one, and the best ever. And they grow up and they discover, no, it's you. You know, like, a little disappointed. When they get older, then they come back to the home. The old man wasn't that bad after all, right? Was wise. So I'm pretty sure in your family, it's people looking at you and getting inspiration for your life. So it's a challenge not only for you, but also for the people that are surrounding you. Look, the title of the sermon is Seeing is Believing. So answer me this question. Jesus performed the miracle, and everybody there, right, left the place believing in Jesus, right? Do you agree with me? No. A lot of people in there, please, if Jesus tells him, I'll be there soon. Somebody's calling me right there. A lot of the people there left in disappointment and anger. Amazing, right? How one act can create different reactions. And the disciples was amazing because they saw how Jesus was working, right? In the heart of the Father was hope that he was dealing with a divine person right there. But in the hearts of the scribes, the ones who were mocking Jesus at the beginning, even after the miracle happened, nothing changed. They continue behaving the same way. Why? Why is it like that? You will think if God sent an angel and do amazing miracles, people will believe. No. We will find reasons not to believe, right? That's the most clear example that I can present to you in Scripture, that faith requires no seeing but believing, right? Hebrews describes right there that faith is believing in things that we don't see, right? The Bible is speaking about heaven, and it's speaking about a heavenly Father who loves us, and many other details that we don't always agree. And perhaps you are like me, that we tend to forget things, right? You go to a sermon and you listen to the sermon and say, okay, and an hour later from here, you will forget the whole thing, right? Don't worry, I had the same issue. You are not the only one. In fact, let me tell you a story that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we were in June, Alaska. Gabriela was there and Robert was there. A lot of people. Camp meeting is an event that we have in a city in the mountains here in Waynesville. I encourage you to go probably next year. It's for the whole week. And during the week, they had different seminars, different classes. Everything is free. The only thing that you need to take care of is your lodging and your food. But everything else is no cost for whoever wants to go there. So at the end of camp meeting, Sabbath, in the afternoon after the service, everybody was gone. I noticed this elderly couple standing there at the parking lot. So I approached him because I'm driving a small golf car, and I asked him, do you need a ride? And they look at me and they say, yes, we need help. I'm trying to find my car, but I don't remember where I parked my car. Okay, that's a problem because that place is huge. And the gentleman said to me, I already walked to the mountain and nothing, and I can't remember. And the wife can say, Henry, how is that possible that this thing happened to us? So Henry and his wife, they are members of a church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, near there. So I said, no problem. Jump in the car, and what we'll do is just go around the parking lots until we find your car. So what kind of car do you have? And the gentleman said to me, it's a Honda Accord gray color. So we start going around, and he has his remote control. And every single time that I notice a Honda Accord, I will stop. So let him try the remote key, right? No, that's not my car. No. We visit at least three parking lots. Near the third parking lot, I say, I need to go to the entrance. Maybe it's there. But I notice also that Henry continued pointing his remote control to Toyotas. So I look at Henry and say, what brand did you say your car is? And he say, Toyota Camry, great. Man. So I thought that you say it was a Honda Accord. I didn't argue with the gentleman, but I realized he's being confused. So that means going all over the parking lot, but now looking for Toyota Camrys. Every single Toyota Camry, I stop and he tried the key, nothing. So finally, I say to Henry, let's go to the entrance. It's called the Walk of Roses, kind of like a mile away from the main auditorium. So we were going in our little golf car through the whole Walk of Roses, trying to find this Toyota Camry. And I noticed that he said, oh, here is my car. So I get stopped and I get so excited, right? Praising Jesus for encountering this car. And when I noticed is that it wasn't a Toyota Camry. It was a Toyota Prius. So we forget things, right? Like, it happened to all of us. I was praying for Henry and his wife after that because their lunch was inside of the car and they need to be lunched. So it was a good moment to help them out. But I want you to think about this. Look, you go home today and maybe you forget about this sermon, but I want you to remember this. Your faith is very important. And you need to pay attention to that. It doesn't matter how many years you are a Christian. You can be months, you can be days, or you can have years and years of walking with Christ. But we all get tested in many ways. So if you are going through a difficult time right now, in your family, at work, in your life, and your faith is getting tested, remember, you know, God understands. He can relate to you and He can relate to me. And He's willing to help you. If we can believe, all things are possible for the ones who believe. Amen? So that's my challenge for you for this week, right? Take time to pray. Spend time with God. I don't know. You find the best time that it works for you. Pray for your kids. Don't give up on them. Even when you think this is a person who will never change, you don't know. Just don't give up. Continue praying. Some prayers are answered many, many years later, right? So the Lord is continue doing miracles, and He's continue helping us as long as we don't give up. So you are the one interceding for your family. You are the one praying for your kids. You are the one praying for your brother or your sister or your dad. I don't know. So many members in our families that need help. Whoever the person that you are praying, don't get discouraged. You know, God is always listening and is willing to help you. May God continue giving you strength and bless your life. Amen. Heavenly Father, today we are pleading with you for our faith. And it's possible that among us is
Someone that is struggling right now. Someone that is suffering, that they had doubts, that they had questions. And we are asking you, Lord, for your empowerment, for your confirmation, for guidance in how to have a stronger relationship with you. Please, Lord, lead us into this beautiful day and help us to continue walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Blessed Sabbath to all of you.